This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on prayer, asking and receiving with Mrs. Debbie Goddard. Mrs. Goddard has been involved in Christian college work for over 30 years, and she currently works in the college tour group scheduling office.
I want to read you a cute little story first. I read this and I thought, oh, I've got to share this with the ladies. A man was riding home on the train from work one evening. While he was riding the train, he was reading this book, and it was The Man of the House. So he decided that when he got home, he would truly be the man of his house and the king of his castle. As he walked through the front door, he said to his wife, "Woman, I am the man of the house. You will cook for me a gourmet dinner. And when I finish that, you will present me with a scrumptious dessert. And then you'll go upstairs and run my bath for me. Now, do you know who's going to dress me after that?" The wife calmly and sweetly replied, "Well, sweetheart, I'm really not sure, but my guess would be the funeral director." Don't tell your husbands. We did a little man joke in here, okay? But I think that poor little fella found out differently. Okay, for our introduction, David Livingstone, the African missionary and explorer who suffered much for Christ, is quoted as saying, "Oh, let me plead with mothers and fathers that you give your children to God. Make sure that the best happiness they will ever have will be as they serve the Lord Jesus and as they win precious souls for him and as they lay up treasures in heaven that no one else can ever have but those who give themselves to full-time to the master's service. If you expect God to use your children, you should set out to see that they are educated for the Lord. If Christ is to be first in your home, then see that he is given the children. One who gives his children to Christ must rear them for him." Now that's a wonderful truth that we should take seriously, and we need to pray every day for our husbands and for our children. Have you ever prayed earnestly and fervently about something that you wanted so much, but God never seemed to answer it? And it seemed like God never gave you any hope of answering that heart's desire. I've heard pastors say that sometimes you feel like your prayers don't go past the ceiling. There have been times that I have prayed and prayed and prayed for days, months, and years, and no sign of an answered prayer. Sometimes I've said, "God, I'm here in Lancaster now. I'm not in Florida anymore. And I'm at 43318 Flag Street. My zip is 93536. And I have a new phone number. Do you want my cell number, God?" You know, it's just like I wasn't sure. I just didn't know if he even knew we were here. But I still waited patiently. But God, in his still small voice and quiet voice, would say, and he still does, "Debbie, be still and know that I am God." And I humbly say, "Yes, Lord." But then I'm reminded of Psalm 37:4, and this is a chapter about David being discouraged and down. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Well, that's the hope that I've been looking for. And then Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Well, how about that? Another hope that I was looking for, that my prayers could be answered. But I had to know from God that, and he taught me this, to commit it and forget it and to not nag him about it, but praying about it. In other words, commit ourselves to the Lord means entrusting everything, our lives, our family, our jobs, our possessions, to his control and guidance. And sometimes as women, you know, we are the nurturers. We are the ones that keep the family in order. You know, take care of the kids, make sure they have baths. You know what it's like when we go on a retreat or even here. You know, dads, you have to give them a list. You know, and don't forget, before they go to bed, they have to have a bath, you know. And so we do, we we do have to commit everything to the Lord. It also means believing that He can take care of us better than we can take care of ourselves. And sometimes as women, we kind of forget that too. Well, then the still, small, and quiet voice reminds me of my own life verses, which is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Well, then God gave me a test of faith. That's our first point. The test of faith, and tested my faith in Him. We'd been married for 2 years. College was over for both of us. And it was time to start thinking about, well, it's time for a family. Within months after this decision and praying for God's perfect timing, I did become pregnant, and we were so excited. But then a few months later, I had a miscarriage, which was very hard for me. And 6 months later, I got pregnant again, and I had another miscarriage. But my doctor kept assuring me, at least you know you can get pregnant. And so that was supposed to encourage me. But then 1 year went by, 2 years went by, 3 years went by, still no baby. I would cry every month, and you know exactly what time of the month I would be crying just because I wasn't pregnant. And when I would see our friends with children, it would just break my heart. But I was happy for them, but it still made me kind of sad that I didn't have a child. At that time, we were in California here. It wasn't just recently, but it was many years ago, that I had asked our pastor's wife to pray with me about the desire to have a baby. And she was very sweet and understanding, and she would pray with me. Well, the Sword of the Lord, Ladies Jubilee, came to our church, and my pastor's wife wanted John R. Rice to meet with me and pray for me to have a child. Now, you know how long ago this was that Pastor John R. Rice was alive, right? And so I was extremely nervous, but she introduced me to him, and he was a very gracious, and he was a very, very sweet and kind man. He would look over his glasses at me, and he'd ask me questions like, and y'all know, if you ever seen him, he always wore his glasses just like this, and then he'd look like that. And he would say, will you raise the child in a godly home? And I was so nervous, and I'd say, yes, sir. You know, and he'd say, will you take this child to church every time the doors are open? Oh, yes, sir. And so on. And he asked me all kinds of questions. Well, I guess probably I put more faith in John R. Rice's prayers than I should have, and not as much in the Lord than I was supposed to. But still, after a year, no baby. Well, the next year, the Sword of the Lord, Ladies Jubilee, was coming back to our church. My pastor's wife grabbed me by the arm and dragged me down to see poor Dr. John R. Rice again, and she's very bold and outgoing, but she said, Dr. Rice, this is Debbie Goddard. You prayed for her last year, and she doesn't have a baby this year. Can you pray for her again? I was so embarrassed, but I knew God answers a godly man's prayer, especially when it's John R. Rice. Well, he asked me the same questions that he did the year before, and I said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, and then this time he added another one. He said, is there any sin in your life that would keep you from having a baby? And I said, oh, no, sir. I'm sure, sir, no, sir. And he prayed again for me. Still, months went by and a year went by and no baby. But I remember when I was a little girl and it was real strong in my heart. I remember thinking, Lord, all I ever want to be is a wife and mother. I really don't care about having a career, you know. I mean, as if wife and mother is not a career, you know. But I said, really, I that's all I ever really wanted. Well, the Sword of the Lord, Lady Jubilee, came around the next year to our church. And by that time, we moved to Florida, so I didn't have to get down there with Dr. John R. Rice again, bless his little heart. Had my pastor's wife drag me down there. But as I look back at those times with John R. Rice, so earnestly and fervently, how he prayed for me. I was so honored that this godly man would take time to talk to the Lord regarding my desires. I remember how sincere his prayers were. They were as if I was one of his own daughters. Like I said, at this point, we are in Florida. One evening, I was sitting with two other friends And we were watching our husbands play softball, and we got to talking about, oh, do you have any children, you know, what are your, you know, all that kind of stuff. And none of us had any children, and we'd been married like for 7 or 8 years. So I had just finished reading the book on John R. Rice, Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And in there it says, if you have a desire of your heart to come to God with that petition. So we all agreed that we would meet at each one's house once a week. Okay, and all we would do is just pray. Take time to pray. And we prayed. We didn't talk about anything else. We didn't talk about anybody. We didn't gossip. We didn't do anything like that. We just poured out our heart through our tears and everything to God. Our hearts were tender towards our desire that we brought forth to the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my crying. And literally, I would cry every month. I finally asked God. I'd say, God, maybe it's not your will for me to have a child. This was the heaviest desire that I had. My petition was greater than me. And I said, maybe it's not God's will. Maybe it's not your will. I said, if it's not your will, would you please take it away? Take it away, because it's really kind of starting to make me bitter. I've prayed all these years, and it's not happening. So I just have to humble myself, and I have to say, okay, Lord, that's not what you want for me. And so after my friends, and I prayed for 3 months, the first girl, one of the girls, she got pregnant. And then 3 months later, I got pregnant. And then the last girl, 5 months later, she got pregnant. My husband and I were married 8 years before our son Chad was born. When a waiting period comes in our life, we should not turn our backs on God or quit praying for his answer, no matter how long it takes. God does not have a calendar. He doesn't have a clock up in heaven. To him, the days run together. To us, they don't. There's only 24 hours in a day. But you've heard the saying, a trial should not make you bitter, but better. God has given me a sensitive heart and a ministry to pray for ladies that do not have children due to the fact, because I know how they feel. We never want to ignore God's work in us, and yet we can't understand why we have to wait over and over and over. The waiting is an inconvenience, but it can turn out to be a gift for us. There's no better time than a waiting time to learn how to become the disciple that God needs and the follower that we should be. Every day we need to get alone with God and honestly seek his will in the waiting period and have faith that he knows what is best. Now, maybe the waiting time for you is not to have a baby. Maybe it's to have a husband, or maybe it is to have a baby. Maybe you have a wayward or a sick child. Maybe you have an unsaved husband, or maybe there are health problems involved. But if you know somebody is going through a waiting period, let them know that you are praying for them. That is one of the best things that we can do. It's just the encouragement through that waiting period from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe it's just a hi or a smile that can brighten someone's day. Encouragement through a waiting time really is a blessing. Discouragement hits hard during these times, but Satan loves it. He wants to discourage you. But when we go out of our way to help somebody else, our service is unto the Lord. And when we go through times that our prayers don't seem to get answered, stay close to the Lord. Don't use him as just, well, if he does it, he does. If he doesn't, well, I'll do something else. The next test is the test of patience. And in my notes, I put a sad face with tears, because patience is hard, isn't it, in anything. God wants to teach us to have patience through a spirit of humility. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And we don't know when God's due time is. That's the thing that gets us. You know, if God could say, okay, in 3 months, I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to answer your petition. Well, then we just sip back and we just sip our tea and we just wait. But you know what? God doesn't tell us that. You know, I think being a mother has been the best thing, and I've gotten so much closer to the Lord through it. Because, you know, when your kids ask for something, and in your heart, you know it's not safe for our child to go over to Susie's house. You know that, but you don't want to tell your child the reason. And so, you know, it's like God is saying, be still and know that I am God. Just be still. And that's what we try to tell our kids. Don't worry about it. It's just not going to work out. And God knows. He knows what the future holds for us. But having a spirit of humility means we have a contagious, positive attitude. The time of testing, of course, is not easy. Patience can be hard during these times. At another college, I used to have the cheerleaders. I had them for 19 years. And this was one of our verses. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Don't be silent about your relationship with the Lord when you're going through these waiting times. Keep serving Him and telling everybody about His goodness. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." My point about that is that we should be focused on telling others about the Lord. We should not sit in our homes on our couch with our Bible waiting for the Lord to bless us in whatever way we're asking. We just need to keep doing His work, being busy about His business, doing His business. And don't ever ignore the tug of the Holy Spirit if He's telling you to do something, even for somebody else. All right, sometimes that's the best time to really serve the Lord is when you're going through a waiting period and a waiting time. Waiting purposely through those waiting times means working while you wait, following God's word and surrendering to His will every day. It means focusing on His view and not ours. God allows our faith to be tried and tested, and He permits trouble to crowd into our lives. But He has always promised to never leave or forsake us, never forget or never abandon us. His love never ceases and His care never dims. Psalm 24:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." I learned how to pray through my waiting period. To have a baby for 8 years, I grew so much closer to the Lord through it. Remember, God does not have a calendar, like I said before, a clock. Time means nothing to God. We live by time. Many times we expect an answer right away because we don't like to wait. And many times we don't understand why our prayers are not being answered. We live for the Lord. We serve the Lord. But why doesn't He answer our prayers? The third point is my waiting period was hard, very hard, but my faith and patience were tested far beyond what I could have imagined. But then God teaches us the lessons and He tests the hope. That's the next one, the hope through Him. But you know, God gave me the courage and hope in Him to go through the waiting time. Doing God's will sometimes means waiting patiently, and while we wait, we can love God, we can serve God, we can serve others, and we can never give up and delight in His grace. Our hope is in the Lord. I once heard someone refer to our trials as either God planned it or He permitted it. Have you ever thought about that? That's really something to think about. Those are words that help me understand God is in complete control, and there has to be a reason behind the circumstance He brings into our lives. Some of you may not know, I don't know a lot of you, and some of you do know that we have been going through a waiting period here for about a year and a half with our family. Last March in 2012, our 25-year-old daughter Lauren was diagnosed with aggressive multiple sclerosis. In the past 17 months, we have watched as she has endured daily injections, that did not help, repeated steroid infusions, which did not help, and a process called plasmapheresis. Now, if you don't know what plasmapheresis is, it's like kidney dialysis, only they filter out, you go in the hospital and they filter out your plasma out of your body and put new plasma in. She did that for a week, 4 or 5 hours a day. And she's had two rounds of light chemo. And you think, but she doesn't have cancer. No, but they're thinking that the chemo will help kill those T cells, that they call them, the white cells, and kill them so that her MS will go into a remission stage. We've lost count of the late night trips to Panorama City, which is about an hour away, get back at 2 and 3 in the morning. And the extended stays in the hospital. She's currently going enduring 6 months of the hard chemo now. And she's going through the side effects, you know, losing the hair and being sick. The best the doctors have been able to tell us is, well, we'll try this. We've heard that many times. But you know, our faith has been tested. But we are encouraged in the Lord. We are trusting Him to bring Lauren and our family through this test. Once again, either He planned it or He permitted it. I have found myself contemplating this verse many times, but it does make sense to me. Slowly, peace replaces anguish. Acceptance replaces anger. Submission replaced unbelief. Could God be allowing these circumstances to change something in me through Lauren? You know, I had to stop and think about that. And I really, really talked to the Lord a lot about it. Was God granting permission for me or maybe our family to go through this fire for a specific reason? Malachi 3:3 is a picture of a silversmith purifying the precious metal. God shares this word picture to us to let us know that He is a silversmith refining us. He burns away the dross, which is something that is a base, trivial, or inferior. In other words, it's really not necessary or helpful. Most of us would agree that life's unplanned circumstances sometimes kind of feel like a punishment. What did we do wrong to deserve this? Major disruptions seem like they're meant to make us miserable. But the truth is, God transforms us with each trial we experience. He is removing the dross of imperfections from us. Each time we survive a major ordeal, I know with me, I grow stronger, I grow closer to the Lord. We grow stronger, wiser, more prepared for the next challenge that He allows us to endure. I must admit that sometimes God's ways do hurt. The stretching is uncomfortable, but I know it is for my good. We are conquerors and overcomers with God's help. God might place pain, suffering, or distractions in our path to teach others about His love, steadfastness, and mercies. However, if God plans my circumstances, then I have to trust that He does have a purpose. The way we react to stress reflects what we believe about God and allows others to see His faithfulness. Our church has been so good about praying. They are so great about praying for us. This is a big church. And everybody will say, "How's Lauren doing? We're praying for you." And that is just exactly what we need. We can't go through that. We can't go through a day without knowing that our church people and our pastor and his wife are praying for us. And it just gives us grace during those drives back at 2 o'clock in the morning from the hospital, from the ER, you know. And God just takes care of us. He loves us. He's going to encourage us. So we need to encourage others. If we model confidence in Him through our actions and attitude, our great God knows exactly what He is doing with our life. Nothing compares to knowing and trusting the Lord, and He is in control, especially when the things around us might feel unstable. Now, God won't permit or plan something difficult for us to walk through without having a greater purpose behind it. It will make us better, and it will make us more like Him. The story I want to read to you right now kind of sums up and shows us how the lessons God has us has allowed us to experience in our life on a daily basis. We will have heavenly rewards through the testing periods of faith, patience, and hope. It's called a quilt of holes. As I faced my Maker at the Last Judgment, I knelt before the Lord, along with all the other souls. Before each of us laid our lives like the squares of a quilt in many piles. An angel sat before us, each of us sewing our quilt squares together into a tapestry that is our life. But as my angel took each piece of cloth off the pile, I noticed how ragged and empty each of my squares was. They were filled with giant holes. Each square was labeled with a part of my life that had been difficult through the challenges and temptations I was faced in everyday life. I saw hardships that I endured, which were the largest holes of all. I glanced around. Nobody else had such squares. Other than a tiny hole here and there, the other tapestries were filled with rich and bright colors of worldly fortune. But I gazed upon mine, and mine made me disheartened. My angel was sewing the ragged pieces of cloth together, threadbare and empty, like binding air. Finally, the time came when each life was to be displayed, held up to the light, the scrutiny of truth. The others rose, each in turn, holding up their tapestry, so filled with their lives had been. My angel looked at me and nodded for me to rise. My gaze dropped to the ground in shame. I hadn't had all the earthly fortunes. I had love in my life, laughter, but there had also been trials of illness and wealth and false accusations that took from me my world as I knew it. I had to start over many times. I often struggled with the temptation to quit, only to somehow muster the strength to pick up and begin again. I spent many nights on my knees in prayer, asking God for help and guidance in my life. I had often been held up to ridicule, which I endured painfully, each time offering it to the Father in hope that I would not melt within me. Beneath the judgmental gaze of those who unfairly judged me. But now I had to face the truth. My life was what it was, and I had to accept it for what it was. I rose and slowly lifted the combined squares of my life to the light. An awe-filled gasp filled the air. I gazed around at the others who stared at me with wide eyes. Then I looked upon the tapestry before me. Light flooded the many holes, creating an image, the face of Christ. Then our Lord stood before me with warmth and love in his eyes. He said, "Every time you gave your life to me, it became my life, my hardships, and my struggles. Each point of light in your life is when you stepped aside and let me shine through until there was no more of me than there was of you." You know, when God brought this time of testing in our life with Lauren, we immediately went to God in prayer, claiming a verse that would carry us through the testing times we would experience, not knowing how long it would take. God gave us Nahum 1:7. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him." And I know you all know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." I'm sorry, I prayed so hard that I would not do this. Then I asked God for a song. I said, "Lord, I just need a song of encouragement every day to help carry me through those days of testing." God gave me "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I want to read that to you. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who with all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. And you know, that has helped me so much. The verses and the song, so much. And if you're going through something, ask God to give you those things. All right, and it helps. I'm sorry, I really have been praying that I would not do this. But God wants to be our best friend, and he is our best friend. And we need to go to him. I know sometimes we call our friend and we say, could you pray for me because I have this little problem, you know? And really we should, and that's okay because we need encouragement from each other. That's how we help each other go through it. And I appreciate so much, so many people that have been an encouragement to us. But he is the best friend to me during these times. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a blessing it has been to stay in such close contact with God through praying and trusting. But in conclusion, I pray daily to my Heavenly Father, getting back to something else. I start my day off praying in the shower because actually it's a no-brainer, right? I mean, we all know, sometimes we don't even have to open our eyes to take a shower. We just know what to do. So I use this time to pray. I pray a lot. Sometimes I take a long shower. My husband says, are you finished yet? Not yet. Only halfway through my prayer list. And I pray, you know what? I pray that God would put a hedge of protection around my husband, my children, and my family, that he'll guard their hearts, eyes, minds, and their health. I pray for those every day because I know Satan's tactics. We all know. We all know where he's attacked us before. And so my family needs that. They need that hedge of protection. A friend once told me that God answers prayers in three ways. And I love this. I have it in my Bible. But no, not now. No, I love you too much. The third one, yes, and I'll give you more. Sometimes I just sit still and I let God whisper his promises into my thoughts. And then I ask for their fulfillment in my prayers and my life. My prayer is that we all will accept those testing times we go through in life and realize that someday our quilt of holes will have the image of the face of Christ, which will be worth all the tears and prayers that we've gone through when we see our loving Heavenly Father. And one day, our eternal rewards will be far greater than we can ever imagine. This is a little poem that someone sent me one time. Happiness keeps you sweet. Trials keep you strong. Sorrows keep you human. Failures keep you humble. Success keeps you glowing, but only God keeps you going. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for each lady here. I do not know if anybody has any problems, if anybody has any petitions that they have lifted up to you many times, but Lord, I just pray you'll just encourage our hearts to just keep on keeping on, keep praying, get close to you. And during the times that we do have trials and we are not very patient and we think there's no hope, Lord, I just pray you'll just encourage our hearts. Keep us close to you. Keep us so close to you through these times. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for all you do for us. Lord, I just pray that as we go through day after day after day with these heavy hearts, Lord, you'll just give us those little bits of encouragement and the wisdom that we need to just be a blessing to others through it. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for all you do for us. In your precious name I pray. Amen.